The Israel Report with Rolene Marks.
Good afternoon, Rolene Marks. How are you?
Good afternoon, guys. Good, thanks, and yourself?
Very good, thank you. Let's get into it. Let's talk about Abbas. Mahmoud Abbas, how's he been?
Well, let's talk about... why don't we ask Abbas? It seems he has been speaking to the Egyptians, and according to an Arabic daily that is published in London... Ashark al-Awsat, I had to practice that all day. He has indicated, at least towards the Egyptians, that he is ready to start talking negotiations. And he appealed to them. He said, please do everything in your power to please stop any kind of annexation plans by Netanyahu, towards Arab or disputed territories, and he will come to the negotiation table. But he has threatened before. He has said on numerous occasions that he is prepared to come to the negotiation table, but we haven't seen anything tachless from him. He's also threatened that he will also put forward his list of negotiation points or demands or whatever he wants to call them to start off a negotiation point, and we've yet to see them. And he has also said that under no circumstances will he negotiate under the terms of the Trump peace plan, but rather under the terms of the quartet. And we know from years of experience, we've seen over numerous attempts, the Annapolis talks and various others, that attempts by the quartet to bring Abbas, to bring the Palestinians to negotiation, have failed. So what will make it different this time? Is it the threats of application of sovereignty? Those threats came and went, and nothing has happened. The focus right now is dealing with the economy and the coronavirus. So what is President Mahmoud Abbas up to?
Absolutely fascinating stuff, Rolene. I just wanted to reiterate that isn't it in fact the threat of annexation that got him to the table in the first place?
Well, this is it. Any way you look at it, Prime Minister Netanyahu's going to say, if he didn't annex the land, well, it was because of various issues, sure, whatever, but also because he used it as a carrot or a stick, depending on which way you look at it, to bring Abbas to the negotiation table. But, this is the Middle East, and, he who spins it the best offered wins, and let's see if we'll get Dugri or Tachlis from Abbas. This is a man who's in the 15th year of his four-year term, so we don't hold out much promise for his talks of elections, sure, or yes, negotiations. It's kind of, it's great that you're speaking to Ashark al-Awsat. I just wanted to say that again, because I practiced so hard to say it, and let's see what happens.
Another story that's incredibly interesting. Twitter apparently deeming a Star of David, a Mug and David hateful imagery. Explain that to me. That's just beyond understanding.
Simon, I thought that we had just already established that it's all those pointy sides, those pointy things. They can trigger people. Right, Rolene?
Apparently so. Apparently we have this incredible way of tricking people into thinking that, we must be proud of something or easily offended by other things. I don't know. Maybe it's just me, just asking for a friend. But this is very, very worrying. And this is not the first time that Twitter has been taken to task for endemic anti-Semitism. So what happened? I hear you all asking. Honestly, I hear you all asking.
Yes. Mm-hmm. What happened, Rolene?
I hear the listeners as well. Many people got up and logged into their Twitter accounts. Anybody with a Mug and David, a Star of David, who logged in was met with the response that their profile picture or the picture at hand was in violation of Twitter's code of conduct, that it represented a hateful image. This, of course, has created a lot of concern, a lot of offense, and a lot of outrage. And speaking to the campaign against anti-Semitism, who lodged a formal complaint with Twitter, you know, they reiterated the fact that, you know, this is not the first time that Jews have been singled out. They approached Twitter with the hashtag Jewish privilege that was put out by white supremacists before the incredible Hen Mazig took it over, and it became the incredible campaign that it that happened last week, which we spoke about, and Twitter ignored it. I myself have reported many, many, many tweets. I have not heard anything back from Twitter. A lot of people very active on Twitter today, putting forward really, really hateful images saying, you know, how come the sign, the symbol of the Jewish people is deemed a hateful image, but you allow for this to happen. And of course, the big campaign that is run by Honest Reporting, Stand With Us, and various other groups to try and get the Ayatollah Al-Khamenei, he who is prone to tweeting out very, very, very offensive language, calling for the eradication of the State of Israel, which is in itself is a call for genocide. His tweets are left unattended, but President Trump, who does tweet out some controversial tweets, he has found himself blocked or suspended. So there is a horrific double standard. It is something that is under investigation. In fact, one of the investigators has commented on it, saying that Twitter needs to reinstall these profiles with immediate effect and offer an apology. But really, it is yet again an example that on social media, where we hear the excuses from you know, major organizations like Facebook, like Twitter, that they just don't have the manpower to monitor as carefully as they should. Well, obviously they have the manpower, because they seem to be focusing or honing in on one certain group, a group that of late has faced a tremendous amount of hate speech online for our very existence.
Yeah, if you want to check that out, you can actually just go to Twitter, do hashtag Star of David, and all of the tweets will actually come up, and you'll see the accounts that have been blocked with the message that it is violating their community standards. It's so interesting, because when you attack with the symbols of a religion, whether it is Judaism or Islam or Hinduism or Christianity, the attack isn't on that religion. The attack is on God. When you attack people who are praying in mosques, in shuls, in churches, in temples, the attack is on God. And social media, I mean, there's so much good that social media can do, Rolene. But on the other hand, I think it is the most toxic place.
Let's not forget that in the middle of our very beautiful blue and white flag is a big Magen David.
Sure.
And making those kind of statements is a very, very hateful indictment against the State of Israel. And, we know from our history how our very, very proud symbol that represents us as a people, as a nation state, as a religion, as an ethnicity, has been turned against us. And this is particularly painful, and we watch very carefully to see what Twitter will do. But if anybody wants to tweet at Jack Dorsey, just saying.
Yeah, Rolene, one of our listeners, sorry, Sam, are you going to read the SMS from Austin?
I'm not there. You go ahead.
Okay, so Austin Gibbs, he says, hi team, regarding the Twitter issue regarding the emblem, can anyone tell me of one social media platform that does not have an anti-Semitic slur? Facebook does, Twitter does, who doesn't? Shocking and repulsive. Shalom from Austin Gibbs. Thanks, Austin. It's interesting.
Well, that's a very good point, because a lot of us work in the space where we rely on social media. Instagram, there have been a lot of anti-Semitic type imagery. I'm talking to you, Dua Lipa, that has creeped in, that we've spoken about. We're speaking about Twitter. We've spoken about Facebook. TikTok is another platform where hate speech has started to creep in. And Austin is right. It looks like whatever social media platform is out there, it seems to be, or seems to provide opportunity for anti-Semites to creep in. Even on Zoom, we are all busy Zoom meeting everybody as much as we can to keep ourselves connected and educated and also entertained during this coronavirus pandemic. And there's Zoom bombing. Zoom is also not safe from anti-Semites who might want to crash with their hate speech. But we are vigilant, we're talking about it, and we're not going to let it go without kicking up a major fuss. And I just want to say before we click off that we must always remember, just because the haters are using these platforms, so are we. And it has become endemic on all of us to use our power as media consumers, social media consumers, to make sure that we are heard loud and clear.
Rolene Marks, that is where we leave it today. Thank you so much for a fantastic report today. Thank you. We'll catch up with you tomorrow.
Stay safe. God bless.
Wear your mask. Don't drink the hand sanitizer.